Half the Pod Not Watching the Game brings you
Phoenix City.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Phoenix City, episode 217, everybody. Congratulations on reaching the big 217.
That's pretty exciting.
All we got to celebrate this week is that fact. I'm joined down at Four Kings by Dave. How you doing, Dave?
Not too bad.
You've got beer in your hand, so you'll be happy. Frosty?
Hello.
You've had one beer and can't have another because you need to drive, apparently?
Yep, it's a long way home.
It is a long way home, and Ella is here as well.
Hello, hello.
Ella, I suspect, I can't hear you right now because I don't have my headphones on, but I suspect that you might need to talk close to your microphone, but...
Probably.
There we go, that's probably better. We're down at the Four Kings having beers and trying to salvage some sort of energy level at all because it's been a week. And it was a week for the Phoenix, who went down 3-0 to the Newcastle Jets on Saturday night, was it? I have no idea. Was it Saturday?
I've been on holiday, mate, every day was Saturday.
Yeah, I'm the same. All days feel like the weekend.
Friday,
it was a night and it was incredibly disappointing to watch.
Yeah, I wasn't disappointed because I didn't watch it. So that's going to be helpful for this conversation.
It was literally a first half where I remember watching it going, oh man, we can't score. We're definitely going to throw this away. Like it just, you could feel it coming. We were going to have all the chances, not be able to score the goal. And then just before halftime, we conceded the first one and then it was all downhill from there. There was some good football, but we just couldn't put it all together in the same kind of 30-second span to make it count.
My one-word summary was toothless.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
That's my contribution. Thanks for listening. Bye.
And that was Phoenix City this week.
I mean, it particularly hurts because we all know how our form was before lockdown, right? And since then, you know, we saw flashes of it, but never really have we got anywhere near where we were pre-lockdown. And at this point, you're heading into finals football thinking we probably won't ever see it. You know, we were thinking this was the year we were bloody going to do it. We still will have our highest finish ever, but it'll be incredibly disappointing because we know, had we not had our form kind of interrupted as it was, this could have been a hell of a lot more.
I think we were the second worst team since lockdown or something.
No, that's not.
Second worst team that we're making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. We're the
fourth bottom or something on the overall.
But Sydney FC are also fifth bottom. They're only one place ahead of us on that post-lockdown table. So they're having the same problem.
Absolutely.
Albeit they have won the league and don't need to do anything. But you would think that they were trying to win games and continue form.
They seem to pull out finals performances, right? We've seen it in the past where an out-of-form Sydney somehow win playoff games out of nowhere. We don't really seem to do that. We only win playoff games when we're in form. And it doesn't feel like we've got any form at the moment.
No, I mean, the only people that I think have got has less form is Perth, because Perth have been shitting the bed completely.
Yeah.
I think the only saving grace here is that it certainly will have given them a bit of fire in the belly. They know they can play better than that. I'm sure they've got a bollocking from the coaching staff, and I'm sure they've given themselves a bollocking too. I mean, you're in lockdown without a hell of a lot else to do other than think about the football. I'm sure they've been thinking about this and hopefully will be coming into the next game raring to go. But you might have thought that about the previous game and the game before that.
Yeah.
So
my concern is that they've gone the other way and it's now a spiral. They're sitting there contemplating.
We don't have Cam here. Someone had to try and bring something positive to the table. I don't believe it.
I was going to just ruminate on that for a while. And that do we think that the fact that they're in a lockdown situation in the bubble with each other is a good thing or not? Because
no,
here they
not.
Get to go and get away from each other and have families and things like that and forget about football for a while. Over there, you just probably think about football for as much as you can.
Yeah. I mean, would you unilaterally say that it's been bad for all of the players or some of the players? Because I think some of the younger ones, to be fair, have come through and have acquitted themselves pretty well. But I guess for them, it's a completely different scenario to be, you know, coming into your first, you know, month, 2 month long sort of football camp, so to speak, versus the players that, you know, have those other, you know, families and stuff where there's kind of a bit more sacrifice in that sense.
It's probably kind of like someone going away from home for uni for the first time and make new friends, blah, blah, blah. I don't really have much time. You're back to the previous place. But for the families or someone who has to go and work in another city and leave the family behind, that's a lot much more of a tough situation. That's kind of the only, like, real pre-COVID analogy I can think of to describe the situation that would explain that, and I think that's probably a good shout. But also these players are getting their chance, and we have seen traditionally that the players that both the previous coach, who mentioned my name, and Ufuk Tale have picked and brought over from either Australia or from within the ranks of New Zealand are up to the standard. And it's just more of seeing that, which is, I don't know what it was like in this game, but Kellen Elliott, I think, from what I've heard, was pretty good again.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there, actually, because, I mean, you think about even the guys that are seasoned pros but have families and that, you know, they don't have that routine and things to fall back on to break them out of the cycle have struggled. Guys like Ball, Davila, but other players like Steinman, you know, who's, you know, not a journeyman by any stretch, but he's, you know, he's basically on a bit of a trip around the world, and all the young fellas, Elliot, Devlin, you know, they've done pretty well. I mean, if anything, they've carried on where they left off or gotten better.
The problem is you don't win the A-League with your second string players making the step up. You win the A-League with your first string players firing, and we were definitely seeing that before.
Honestly, Elliott's looked as good as Payne for mine. I mean, over a shorter time span and against teams that are struggling with the whole COVID thing as well, but I mean, I couldn't have asked anything more than what he's done.
I mean, more than that, though, it's key positions and it's goals that we've been lacking, you know. Oh. And we don't have a player stepping up in that space at the moment. That's the big worry for me. You know, you're right back stepping up and having a blinders, great and all, but does it matter if you're not scoring anything at the other end? Not particularly. And in this last game, we conceded three. So can you really give big raps to the defence when you've shipped three?
No.
But I mean, that's the trap that we fall into time after time after time. Like, it's not just a this season thing. It's a, you know, every last season that I can remember, we've always gone, you know, defensively generally all right, midfield generally all right, but actually putting the ball in the back of the net, we consistently struggle to consistently do. We'll have bubbles where we do fantastically, or we'll have a couple of excellent goal getters, and then we just start to falter at those key moments, i.e. this point in the season.
Yeah. I think it's going to flow in nicely to what we're going to talk about next with Hooper leaving, because I think he, for me, has been the only one I've seen in a Phoenix jersey in a long bloody time who looks like they're going to score a one-on-one without really worrying about it. I mean, Roy started getting better at it, but, you know, throughout his career certainly wasn't a given. But, you know, so many people playing that number nine position for the Phoenix look like they're rushing and look like they're not going to score the one-on-ones, and then they bloody don't. Whereas Hooper mishit it and it was always going in, you know? Like, there are just those strikers who are confident at those, and we've lost our one who was that guy. So
That ball that McCowett hit to him and he got away from the defender.
Yeah.
Never missing. No doubt at all. He had all the time in the world to pick it out. You can't say that ball. I think he's a fantastic player, but I don't see him getting those one-on-one goals.
No,
even if he does get ahead of the defender.
Not every time.
No.
He's scored them this season, but not every time.
Yeah. But he's had, you know, he's not scoring at even 50% of those.
No, and I think the thing with him is he came out here and, he, you know, we talked him up as a nine, but he hasn't really played as a nine anywhere.
No, he's so a false nine.
That's not his position and not a thing he's been doing throughout his career. So I'm not surprised he, you know, doesn't look like the guy.
Yeah, we've given him the number nine shirt, but that's not his position.
No.
He's a false nine at best.
Yeah.
My concern is that with Hooper gone, we now are almost forced to play Davila and Ball. And I think that they're not the same player, but they occupy the same space where they want to operate is in behind, just in between the lines, in the centre. That's where they really feed off and turn and create those overloads. And with them in the same space, it just means he can, you know, play zonal defence against them and just box out that space, and they're screwed. They don't have the pace to go out wide. You see it now. we're having to bomb down the wings. And I think it was two games ago, Kikachi, maybe he had in 15 crosses, but you know, they were just guys sitting in the centre, defenders just waiting to just nod that out. It's just because we don't have the horses for it up in the middle.
If you're Fiktale, how do you solve that problem?
Formation change, but it's too late. We literally can't change formation now. It'd be silly.
So do you bench one of them? Big call.
Yeah, I would consider doing it, but again, if you do, who do you bring on? Yeah. Wayne?
This is the big thing, right? You've got a lot of players who work really well with a solid nine, right? So Ball, definitely that guy. Davila, definitely that guy. Soterio, arguably that guy as well. He'll bring some pace, but he still needs someone to finish. McCowart's that guy. And you really don't have anyone who's...
Piscopo as well.
Yep.
Same thing.
Yep.
Need someone on
the
middle.
And so the only guy you've really got in there who is an out-and-out nine is Wayne. And is he the guy you expect to bang in a bunch of goals in the finals? Probably not.
You know, youthful exuberance and all of that.
So like you say, I think you've got to look at structuring it a little differently up top and hope that one of those guys can find the back of the net. I mean, they're all good enough to do it, but it's not their natural role. Their natural role is to create the space for someone else to get the tap in.
Yeah, if I thought we had a chance of changing formation, it'd be 4-3-3 and you're playing McCowart higher out wide, because he's been running really well out wide and running at players. And I think, you know, potentially you have someone like Piscopo that as well. And I think if you've got two quick guys with the ball at their feet, then Ball has a chance in the middle.
Yeah.
He just needs that split second and he's good. Hooper never needed that split second. He was on it.
So you're putting Uli out wide then, or what are you doing with
him? No. I think he's basically, you let Ball run his little legs off.
I would be inclined to put Uli in the middle just because he's looked really poor when we've tried to play him wider.
Yeah,
whereas I think Ball can do the job out wide. He's looked like he's capable there. But I agree, who should sit in the middle there is a really tough call. But I think Uli's looked bad when we put him wide.
Oh, no, I would have
so
had
I'd
him
rather
bench.
He stay central, because then at least he might play some good football.
Yeah, I literally would have had him on the bench.
Mm. That's what we were doing at the start of the restart, wasn't it? Davila was on the bench. And that was when we looked our best.
Well, not that we looked great then either.
In our post-restart mode, we looked our best in that game against Sydney FC. Second game against Perth that we won, I think it was. And then the Adelaide game, which we could have won if we scored a penalty. Those are the three games when we kind of looked like we might find that form again. And then it tanked off after that. But we looked the best when Uli wasn't starting. Whether that's the reason, I don't know.
Yeah,
probably a lot of factors in play there.
Yeah, there's definitely been a problem with his form since return. I mean, he was flying high before
the
lockdown.
Best player in the
league. And, you know, he's lost that spark. Whatever it was, it's gone. If he can find it again for some finals football, great, but...
He needs to find it now.
The reason we've looked bad is because he's been on the field and he's been looking subpar.
Yeah, the problem is when he's on the field, everyone on the team looks to him to... just create that bit of time and space, and he did that pre-lockdown. He did that beautifully, and just his ability to turn defenders and get into the right spot at the right time was great, and it meant that Ball got in the game a little more. Hooper could basically play up nice and high off the defender's shoulder, whereas pace wasn't such a thing and his finishing was. I genuinely don't know how we can rejig it.
Do you think that this is down to teams having more time to work them out? Because we might have seen the same problem with Sydney FC, where teams have had all that 4 months, it was 4 months in the Adelaide's case, of sitting at home with nothing to do, watching video footage and working it out how to defeat it. And then is it down to that? Is it down to playing him out of the game versus form?
I don't think anyone has been doing anything tactically to put him off his game.
Sure.
I think he's just looked off his game.
How about generally for the Phoenix and for Sydney FC, who are the two form teams in the league?
I feel like there is a bit of that. I mean, once you sit back and know that we don't have Barcelona, we don't have pace up top, especially through the middle in general. I mean, even our central midfielders are not fast. So you know that you can pretty much just give them not a head start, but you certainly don't have to chase them around. And if you know their zones, like Ball and Davila, you can choke them and you can cut off that supply into that final third. Now with no Hooper, we do, I mean, it is kind of a... swings and roundabouts. We now actually have a bit of the unknown about us. It's like, one, we don't even know who's going to be playing.
Yeah.
But also, two, how do you structure it, you know, organise a defence against something like that, where you're like, even if it's kind of like Macau and Piscopo, I don't think we've really ever played those two together. And it's like, how do you structure a defence against them? You just got to go, we'll just guess.
Yeah. You're finding a positive where there's probably not much one to be found.
I'm grasping, mate.
But it's good. But it does make me wonder about the Hooper injury, because obviously he's carrying an injury. That's understandable, but it must be more serious than we first thought, because otherwise, you know, it's three games in a week. Obviously, you're not expecting significant minutes out of him while he's injured, but he is such a potent force. If I was a coach and he was capable of getting 10 minutes on the field, I'd want him hanging around for finals football.
You got five subs.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he could play 10 minutes.
So either he really has some pressures on him that he wants to go home for other reasons, and the injuries kind of, you know, exacerbated that, or the injury is a lot worse than we think, where he's not even good for 10 minutes. Because, if he was good enough to maybe take the field for a bit in a finals game, I'd want him still on the bench, even just for the influence he has on the players around him.
You look at some of those times that Eiffel literally had one leg and he was carrying the team still. And Hooper could do that for 10 minutes if we need him to come on and just tap it into the back of the net and be the player to do that.
Yeah,
I think the injury is probably worse than
Hemmies are, you know, if they're tweaked at all it takes is you stretch out once.
And I think you know, we all understand this is a pretty unprecedented situation as well. You know, he's been away from his family
buzzword.
And all of that stuff, that I'm sure it's easier to go, yep, you know what, this injury is bad enough, I'm out. But you have to wonder if this was pre-lockdown, if the same injury would mean he's going, I'm not going to play any finals football, or if he would be going, actually, I'll hang around for the extra week and see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, if it was pre-lockdown, you'd probably be thinking, worst case scenario, I'm showing up to a half the practices and just carrying the balls and just saying, hey lads, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nice little walk around at sunny Wellington.
It's work, you're getting paid for it. Life goes on like normal, but in the situation, it's completely different. Do you think it's the same thing with Payne? Like, he could take the field for 10 minutes, but for Payne, it's not worth it, and may as well come home a week and a half earlier than...
I think Payne's got a point to prove, and if he could, he would.
So you reckon he's proper injured too?
Yeah, I think it's basically...
Proper injured.
Yeah, proper injured. Isn't it?
Rubbed off on me. 6 months over there. Jeez.
I think hemis are just those things that...
Once they ping that.
Yeah. Or if they're even halfway pinged, you're going to do it.
Yeah. And if you've got that at the back of your mind, that you're going to properly ping it.
And especially at fullback, because you're making those long runs where you really open up.
Yeah.
Oof. That is not fun.
Yeah, so, I mean, they both make sense if you take away the wanting to want to pry off side of things and just look at a player welfare side of things. Which
you take away the football side of things.
How dare us.
Yeah. It's an interesting one with him, though, because, I mean, not to throw any disparagement at him all, but he's got a little less to come home for in some ways. Like, it's not so far to come, and it's not like he's got a wife and kids waiting here, right? Like, he's a young guy.
If that was me and
we were going into finals football, I'd still want to be in that environment, even if I was injured and wasn't going to be taking full part in that. Mm-hmm. So the fact he's coming home is still interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the cause of that is, but I feel like, you know, if this was Stephen Taylor and he was injured and not going to play, he'd be like, you're not getting me on a plane. I'm not leaving. Like, that's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to me. Hooper, I feel like he's got some other stuff. He's got family and he's got all of that, and it's a hell of a long way to go. Payne, it makes less sense to me. Even if he's really injured, hobbling around on crutches and, you know, being that moral support for the boys, feels like it could still have been a thing.
Yeah. Do we think then that maybe it wasn't as much the players' call as maybe the coaching staff going, look,
for the greater morale side of things.
They've got no golf carts to give him, so they may as well send him home. So that brings us talking about the other games in the playoffs.
Do we have to?
Well, let's pull out some. There's been so many games since we last recorded.
We haven't really talked about the game at all.
I know. I was trying to cover it off. I assumed. I've not.
Goals were scored. We didn't score any of them.
We didn't look like scoring them either.
We did for the first 20 minutes.
We got in good positions. We didn't look like scoring.
We hit the post and the keeper saved with his face and had no idea about it. Like there were ones we should have scored. But, I mean, the commentators were talking up an amazing goalkeeping performance, and I think they were talking about that long before it became that. I think he did do some good stuff for a young keeper. He certainly was... capable, but we made it pretty easy for him. We should have been putting those.
I mean, that face save.
Yeah,
shouldn't have gone near his face for a start.
Exactly. And there was a lot of that. And then we conceded just before halftime, dropped our heads, and never got back into it.
No.
Second half was pretty much all them with us scrambling a bit and hoping something was going to happen that never looked like it was going to. So,
well, that's it. Our game plan is not the helter skelter style that can kind of pull something out of nothing.
Yep.
We're the structured, organised, break teams down and create overloads.
And when you're doing that, but the goals aren't coming, it's so demoralising.
Yeah. And then you had Abini scoring an absolute screamer. Like they were playing good football, and you know, he just came out of nowhere and put a nail in the coffin.
They earned him a contract extension, which got announced today.
Oh, did it? Well, there you go. I mean, it's a hell of a strike, but you know, that goal kind of came a bit out of nothing. They were playing some good football, but that wasn't what was coming, and he bangs that in, and then suddenly we're scrambling even more and concede another one because we're trying so hard at the other end that, you know. Yeah.
Two's the nail. I mean, the third is just kind of like, yeah.
Well, that's the first time since the Sydney FC game that we've conceded more than one goal in a game. So it's not like our defence has ever been cut open like that before. Before now, we just haven't been scoring as a problem. But
and I'll fully confess, I have no idea what happened after the third goal because that's when my TV went off and I went to bed. There's only about five minutes left and I wasn't watching it.
I think that's safe to say of most Knicks fans, it just would have been. After watching that, the first 85 minutes, it never felt like we were in the game.
I mean, that would be the first time all season that we would have been able to sing Bohemian Rhapsody if it was a home game, which says something about the team that we're not just chucking away 3-0 losses all the time like we used to. So, Do you want me to talk about the game more, or should I move on?
No, I think that's it.
You're done?
Spoken of the game now.
Yeah. I'm not going to go through every other result because there's a lot of them. Some notable ones. West United 5-3 over Western Sydney as part of their flying ride home to the playoffs.
Where people don't believe in defence anymore.
Yeah, talking about Perth Glory, they lost 4-0 to Melbourne Victory, who had not been a form team at all this season.
Where people believe that Popovich isn't the great god that he was.
Big result.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Which Popovich? There's so many in that team.
True.
That is true.
And on Saturday night, Western United continued their run home. I think it's every game but one's post-lockdown they've won or something like that in the last six games.
And the worst thing is they've not looked bad doing it.
No, they won 2-1 over Sydney FC. And I don't know what team Sydney FC put out, but the game against Melbourne City, which is...
It was their full team.
Was it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I couldn't spot anyone that looked a noob. I think that was literally just build up for finals. And
So there's one game left in the season, which may or may not have happened by the time that you're listening to this podcast, but it's Western United versus Melbourne City. If Western United win that, they will jump ahead of us into third place and play Perth Glory in the playoffs. If they draw that, they will jump into fourth place and they will play Brisbane Roar in the finals. If they lose that, they will stay in fifth place but play Brisbane Roar.
When's that played?
Tomorrow night. Wednesday night.
We need to be playing Glory.
This is the one that Adelaide is still in lockdown for, right? Because if Western United lose by 14 goals, Adelaide can still be in or something, can't they?
Not anymore. If Western United lost both and turned around a 16-goal difference, then it could have happened. The moment that Western United got a point, Adelaide were out.
Okay.
So, I saw that tweet. That was brilliant.
He was released in the end.
Yeah, Jordan Nelson was saying that they have to, in case of a 16-goal turnaround, which I can understand. If it happened.
Over two games where you can see.
If you release them, it would delay the playoffs by 2 weeks. It would be an absolute shambles. I can see why they didn't let them out for the sake of four more days.
Yeah. No, fair. Yeah. But
it wasn't going to be 4 days. If it had gone to this game, it would have been over a week.
Yeah. But again, I can see why that they have kept them in isolation for the sake of the league. You want to be playing Perth Glory, right? You hope that Western United don't win this game and you play Perth Glory.
Yeah, our only chance, I think, right now is playing a team that looks diabolical. Oh, God, I've said it. Shit. I'm really, really sorry.
Yeah, so it will either be us playing against Perth or playing against the Brisbane Roar. Is that right? Who's going to win?
Yeah,
Perth or if they win, we play Brisbane Roar. So either of those, neither of those two teams in form. Brisbane Roar's in a bit more form. So, but
well, you Brisbane have looked bad, whereas Glory have looked diabolic.
To be fair, Brisbane have looked a little bit better than they did under Robbie Fowler. So they've escaped that curse. Yeah, it all comes down to that game, and we're not going to talk too much about it because it's going to be played by the time people listen to this. But
did you see that Robbie Fowler's alleging that he was unlawfully sacked?
Yeah, I mean, he chose to fly back to the UK, and they said, if you can't be back by this day, then you're breach of terms of your contract, which I think is completely fair enough. He was complaining that Brisbane should pay for his flights, and Brisbane said no, which I think is fair enough.
Well, yeah.
They obviously wanted rid of him as it was.
Yeah, I think they've looked for a way out. Whether or not it'll be upheld, who knows? Because I think that the concern is not necessarily that he didn't show up. I don't know that he was afforded the full opportunity. If they'd said, you need to be back by this day or we're sacking you, he probably would have taken different steps. But that communication was never actually made. They just went, oh, you're not here. Cool, we've ripped up your contract then. And here we've written the statement that says we've mutually terminated it. And put a quote in from you.
Yeah. I love the old media managers just writing quotes from head coaches. It's a great
tactic. You have to assume they're not stupid and they would have at least sent that past his people.
Yeah.
But whether or not that made it to him and whether or not they okayed it would be very interesting. But clearly they wouldn't have been stupid enough to do that without at least giving them a copy and going, this is what we're saying, let us know by 5 p.m. if you're all right.
Yeah. Yeah, so us versus Brisbane or us versus Perth. Big difference. I think it's been announced today for us, Tuesday for you guys, that the game is on Saturday night at 7 p.m. New Zealand time, no matter who it is. I assume that means that Sunday is the Western United game to give them more time to recover. Is that right, or is it Friday night? Can't be Friday. Sure. That's 2 days after that.
Yeah, I think
game.
It's Sunday.
Must be right. Sunday, yeah.
Sorry, I was distracted by that Raheem Sterling miss on TV.
Good.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, that's classic Brocky.
Glorious.
Yeah. And then next week, I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday are the games for whoever wins.
I think it's Wednesday or Thursday.
Wednesday or Thursday, cool.
Yeah.
And then Sunday grand final?
Sunday grand final, correct.
Yeah.
So
whoever wins out of whoever wins against us, we'll be playing next weekend because
to do it, we've got to win 3 games in 8 days. Like as coaching staff, you're gearing the boys up for a big week. That's basically all it is here. You've got to play some of the best football in your lives this week. That's it.
The thing is, you can also draw games. I think extra time will be a killer in this week. But
still going with extra time then.
Absolutely.
Or are they not going straight to penalties?
No. Not that I've heard.
There was one league that was doing.
Yeah, there was one league going straight.
Yeah, I think FIFA added that as an option, in the same way they added five subs as an option, no VAR as an option.
And so the thing here is playing the extra game is really going to hurt the teams who finished 4 through 6.
Yeah.
3 through 6.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt those teams for sure. It's the 1 year that really matters, and we've missed out on that spot.
Yeah,
so
because usually it's a 2 week break, a week off, whereas now it's a It's instead of having 2 weeks between games, it's only you get a week between games.
Well, and you know, we've previously talked about whether or not actually skipping that round is good. This year, it's definitely good. Previously, it might be breaking your flow. There might be some issues with form because you do get a 2 week break, which isn't necessarily what you need at that time of the season. But here, getting, you know, a 5 day break instead of a 2 day break is sure as hell a good thing.
And West United are playing games every 3 days for a good 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks before the grand final.
Yep. So we talked about it when we were coming into this post-lockdown season, about they were going to struggle, and instead it actually seems to be going in their favour. The form is really helping them.
Yeah, I think if they had a loss or two in there, it might have turned things around. Yeah. But the fact they just keep rolling on.
If Diamante goes as well.
Yeah. At this point might be where it really tells, though. Where the leagues are getting really heavy and you're up against the best sides and you really got to play do or die football.
They said today that they're resting Jura for their next game against Melbourne City because it is essentially a dead rubber. All it's doing is choosing who they play. So resting some leagues who are more older in Jura's case is probably a smart option. So they're planning for that, and Rudan, unfortunately, is an intelligent coach and knows how to rotate a squad around. So do we think we have any chance of winning a playoff?
Yes.
Yeah, against Brisbane. Glory.
Never say never.
Even against Brisbane?
Yeah, why not?
It's not a 50-50 chance, but I mean, I'm just hoping Glory because they've looked so bad. I can't see them turning it around without blowing their own heads off.
And then let's jump into a completely hypothetical situation so we're not jinxing anything. Say we have won our playoff, our first playoff.
Yeah.
Would you have preferred that West United jumped above us and we get to face an out-of-form Sydney FC? Or would you prefer that West United don't jump us and we'd be facing an okay form Melbourne City?
City haven't looked bad. Mm.
It's an interesting one because before lockdown, I would have said absolutely Melbourne City, but now.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and the problem is as well, we've been better than Sydney in all the games we've played them this season and can't get the result out of it.
Mm.
We somehow turn these fantastic performances into losses. Yep. And you'd have to worry we'd do that again somehow. Yeah. That's certainly been our post-lockdown story. Yeah. So.
And bearing in mind that we are, again, reduced firepower up top.
Yep.
You know, we'll turn in a fantastic performance. Will we get the goals? Well, on evidence.
Yeah, we're 1-0 loss, maybe.
So, I don't know. I think the reality is, for me, if you get past that first one, we're probably not getting past the second one, no matter which opposition it is.
I mean, if we get past the first one, it's because we play Perth Glory and we face Sydney FC, or we've faced Brisbane Roar and then we play Melbourne City. So it's like a theoretically easier and then a tougher game, or two in the middle to make the grand final. So
I mean, I think both Brisbane and Perth are pretty beatable for us. I think if we actually play good football, both beatable. The thing is, Sydney, we've played some of our best football and still can't beat them.
Yeah.
And City are looking the best form team at the moment, other than probably Western United. Yep. So they're going to be hard to beat. I think that game's going to be the real killer. But, you know, we've got to get there first.
Yeah. So yeah, I think the Phoenix are looking, hopefully, maybe that's cancelled now that we're in level 2, but they were looking to do something on Saturday in terms of getting people together to watch the game. Otherwise, tune into Sky Sports 7. Is that the football channel?
Yeah.
Sky Sports 7 to watch the Phoenix take on somebody, Perth Glory or Brisbane Roar, and then maybe next week. We might try and get a pod together for next week if win the game.
If we win that game, surely we can record in time for that.
If we don't, we will probably have another week where we decide not to talk about football.
But I don't mind talking about football, it's just the A-League.
Yeah, I mean, unless anybody wants to talk about Bayern Munich's 8-2 win over Barcelona.
Yes. Nah, there's no one who wants to talk about that here, so
nobody move on.
I think you've turned my mic down.
The pods for this week.
You enjoy that, Frosty? Some enjoyment out of football?
I actually kind of made me a little sad. I enjoyed it, but watching Bayern shit the bed was quite...
Bayern shitting
the bed? Sorry,
Barca shit the bed, sorry.
Don't worry, Bayern shitting the bed will come soon.
Yeah, tradition says that getting through to the final and then shitting the bed is something we're capable of. But honest to God, doing that to Barca, you kind of got to be thinking it's not in the bag, but...
Probably a form team.
Form team. So, they're looking tidy. They know what they're doing. They're doing it really well. It's a Bayern... formula, the way they're playing, it's exactly the way that they played with Schweinsteiger.
And that is about 2 minutes even more Bayern Munich content than any listener wants, so we'll wrap the pot up there.
I'll give them some credit. There's probably one out there who's going, you talk about that, Frosty.
Yeah.
And all of the rest going, shut them up.
All four other people that listen.
Anyway, it was a short pod this week because, as you can tell, energy is low. But thank you for listening. We will be back sometime next week, whether it's to dissect a former post-mortem or whether to celebrate and look ahead to another game. We will be back in your ears next week. Thank you for listening and goodbye.
Bye. Alien Autopsy brings you. Super Bayern brings you. I can't even list the goal scorers brings you.
A real fan could.
Having to pay Liverpool $5 million for a super sub that scored against you twice and set up one other brings you. Pep shit in the bed again brings you. Raheem Sterling missing like our interest brings you.